15 to 20 million.
Jedi,
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio, and maybe that's a little promo for my Saturday gig here on 860 AM radio at 11 AM. And I mean to tell you, we are the League of All Nations every Saturday and morning at 11, and I ask that you tune in. But today is our American Workers Radio broadcast, and I want to say that we have a full house of people, and we are going to make this a full discussion program today. Along with me here, I have Larkin Connolly, the president of SCORE Philadelphia. Also back with us today from his little trip is Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Mark Andel, who is the founder and very well-known man from Made in America Store. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that I am with the most distinguished guests today, and I want everyone to know that how pleased I am to hear from you in email, as well as I go in my travels, how people are saying that I love what you guys are doing. I'm going to ask that all of you go to your telephone right now, invite family members and friends to tune in, then sit back, relax, and enjoy our broadcast. I first want to say that our listeners and supporters here of American Workers Radio and AmericanWorkersNeedYou.com have made an unbelievable difference, because now millions of Americans are supporting American-made products, and together we've all been able to bring attention to the imbalance between foreign and American-made stores. And of course, we discussed many times how big the global economy is. Well, that's very true. And Larkin and Rich and Mark and everyone that's part of our series and our broadcast here on American Workers Radio knows that we will all want to be part of a growing global economy. But what we mean is that we want to be part of the economy where we have as many American-made products circulated around the world as we have foreign-made products in our country. When that happens, everyone's economy will improve, especially Americans. And also, I want you to know that all of our efforts have been bringing attention to the fact that because our national leaders didn't really lead us well over the years, America's under great stress from the loss of jobs and the weight of that $16.5 trillion that our national leaders approved in our behalf, saying they were doing it in our best interest. I don't know if that's, you know, anything I can ever believe, but America's in trillions of debt, not millions and billions. Some people can't even imagine what trillions is, but we are $16.5 trillion in debt. And for you to see all of the information that we're talking about on the front page of American Workers Radio is the U.S. debt clock. Click on that and you'll be able to see some of the things that we'll be discussing and highlighting during today's show. But first, I want to turn to Larkin and tell me, what news have you about what has happened since our last broadcast?
Well, a couple things have happened. The one thing I would bring up is a discussion I had yesterday with a CPA here in Philadelphia who runs a very, very, runs and owns a very, very large firm. And he brought up to me, he said, when we sat down to lunch, he said, "How are you?" And I said, "Fine. How's things at SCORE?" And we talked about that a little bit. And we started to talk about the national situation. And he said, "You know, this country's got a debt problem. It's a huge problem. And an awful lot of people, from the press to the politicians to just the man on the street, are certainly applying an awful lot of lip service to the issue, but nobody has really come up with a resolution to this problem. And I really see this as a much, much bigger problem than anybody really is willing to stand up and talk about. The other thing I might bring up in the news, and you and I kind of chuckled a little bit about it, and that was Biden yesterday, Joe Biden, Vice President Biden. I thought what a very, very unique, politically astute approach it was for him to stand up and tell people to, you know, tell his wife if she hears somebody breaking in the house downstairs, go out on the upper deck and fire the shotgun twice, and I guarantee you they'll head for the hills and you won't need an assault weapon. But he fell one step short, and you and I decided what that step was.
Yes, you know, I want to tell you, we were talking about it in a few places this morning, and people said Biden should not only be telling people to buy guns, to shotguns, but also to be buying American-made products.
Exactly.
All American-made products. I mean, why are they focusing on everything other than what's really needed in our country to make us a success? Rich, how is everything with you?
Guys, good morning. Michael, good morning. And to all your listeners, thanks for having me back. I missed being on, truthfully. I would say for any of your listeners who want to contact Congress to give their to weigh in, they're going to need to leave a message because Congress is naturally doing what they usually do at a time of importance, which is take a vacation. So
that's true.
I believe they'll be back in a week or so. But you know, getting elected is like a
well, with all this sequestration, Rich, what's going on? I mean, I keep hearing all these problems, and how can they be on vacation?
Well, you know, Congress is getting elected a permanent vacation anyway, right? So, but in all seriousness, there's what I anticipate is going to happen is same with the public the last round of the so-called fiscal cliff discussions, which is there was basically they met in the middle. The net result was the proposals really didn't differ altogether that much between what was originally discussed and what was finalized. I anticipate a similar outcome this time around. We'll see, but this is what I'm anticipating.
You know, as I was talking with people, I jot down a few notes, and one of the biggest problems everyone tells me is happening in America is that our national leaders don't understand what it takes to get up out of bed every morning and go out and make a living the way the rest of us do. They have never had to support themselves, and especially not to maintain a payroll. They pulled in payroll from, making a request to the office of, the system of payroll to welcome a staff member, but they never had to pay the person directly, so they don't understand what the business people are going through. What I'm saying from all this is, if they asked each other, what does it take to make a payroll, maybe they would start to understand why our businesses are in the situation they are. They simply don't know.
And, I'm a critic of Congress and the way it's functioning right now. I'm a critic of the way Washington, D.C. is functioning right now. It is a completely dysfunctional system. And I think the congressmen are patriots. I think Congress people, men and women, are patriots and believe in the country and take their jobs very seriously. I just think the priorities are just way out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
I think they look in the wrong direction constantly. They get elected, and they can govern for 2 years, if that, and now they're back on the election trail, trying to get reelected. So,
well, Larkin, if the fact is that really, I think that the government as a whole, it's not to say that they're never looking in the direction of America. I just think they have allowed it. Congress has allowed itself to just simply be too distracted with things going on around the world, that for every moment you devote to something outside of America, right, is a second or a minute not spent on issues here. Every dollar spent outside of America is a dollar not spent here. So what's happened over time is the government has essentially convinced itself that it could spend and borrow as much as it's wanted to. And that faulty logic is now brought us to this point. So there wasn't really too much of a debate over time of what to spend, what to borrow, what to spend. I mean, Congress itself has regularly approved borrowing. So now we're at a stage now where that, you know, comes time to pay the bill. So now we're going to try and pay the bill, and we're going to look to make cuts. And both sides are proposing cuts that truthfully will harm us. So what the end result will be, you know, when we're looking all around all the time, and we're not looking primarily here in the country, which is what Congress is elected to do. Its oath is to the United States, right? Its people, its constituents. This is what's happened now. But we have to take some responsibility for that. We're the ones who elected them.
Absolutely.
Right? The electorate is the one who put them in there. And we're the ones who can elect others. But it's up to us. It's incumbent upon us to see that we elect those whose true primary work is going to be devoted to issues here.
You're absolutely right. And I want to just mention this before I ask Mark for what's happened with him since we spoke last. All of us have to be concerned with the situation that we have at our fingertips, because in addition to our own daily expenses of operating businesses and households, Uncle Sam, under the direction of our national leaders in Washington, have now placed every man, woman, and child from birth to death in over $52,000 of debt that the government has to pay off at some point in time. Otherwise, the debt service goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And it's not money we would have approved. In fact, most of it we would not have approved. Today, high unemployment is killing us. It's an effect of the national debt, because everything is concentrated on the debt and going overseas and aid to other countries. And nothing is being done to look at what's happening on the American front. Right now, when I come back after Mark, I'm going to mention something about where we are again with the amount of people we have in the country and where we have to be in the future if we want to get our economy back to 100%. But first, Mark, how is everything with you today?
Good. How are you guys? Welcome back, Rich and Larkin.
Thank you,
and
Mark.
You know, everybody, what you just said is right on it. We're quite a team, I think, we're forming here, because we're all being honest, and sometimes honesty people might not like, but the facts. In New York, I woke up with snow today, so we've got 3 to 4 inches of snow, which is good for our snowplow business. A little colder up in New York. New York's... you got some problems going on right now, but on a positive note, I had a Josh Miller visit me who made, and I'll try to get you guys a copy. It's not released yet, but it's called the Made in the USA, the 30-Day Journey. So what Josh did, wasn't a producer, was a baseball player, 28 years old, and mother had gotten cancer. But in his small town in West Virginia, they lost a major aluminum plant. That aluminum plant, when they closed down, it was a population 4,000 town, but it really devastated the town. So he said, you know, I'm going to set out on a 30-day journey, only wear and eat and buy Made in America products, and go around the country and talk to people and about what's going on. And really neat guy. Mike, you want to look him up, Josh Miller. And the story was inspiring, and I seen a bit of the clip, but he's going to go, it's a documentary film. But real neat to meet him. He took a ride up to my store 500 miles Friday with his wife, and just actually teared up in my store, and couldn't believe. We had talked, but I'm in another movie coming up, so I couldn't be in his, but he really loved what we were doing. Couldn't believe someone has 5,000 products under one roof. So that was a positive, and Josh is really like us, trying to make a difference and educate everyone. And then I had the first bus show up for 2013 at the store Saturday, so I met him, and it was a Youngstown, Ohio group. And great group, loved our store, loved what we're doing. But one gentleman said, Youngstown used to have 76,000 people in it. Now we have 40,000, Mark, he said. And Detroit's got 10,000 homeless a year. And again, we talked about facts, and this gentleman's been around. And, you know, that bus was encouraging. They love what we're doing. But that was the first bus. And then we... you know, New York State, you guys touched on. My brother-in-law sent me a new T-shirt, should read... you know, he had I Love New York, and then he had a few things about New York on it, which read highest tax rates, highest health insurance, highest gas prices, Second Amendment taken away, and the last check mark was leaving New York, you know, check here. You touched on, I am a hunter, and I do sport shooting. 22 rounds, simple 22s I shoot with my 10-year-old daughter. You can't get no more in New York. Number one, you can't find them, but the price, and they're putting a Syntax on. So it's becoming the anti-American state to me, and I've had 15 businesses in 2 weeks that I know left. So, you know, here we're on a positive note with the Made in America store, but just like you guys touched on, things need to be done now. And, it's just the facts are... mind-boggling.
You are so right. And by the way, where was that I Love New York shirt made?
Well, we didn't come up with it yet. That was a suggestion to me yesterday. And we had some check marks because a lot of people are seriously thinking about leaving it because they just keep hurting these working people more and more. And I've got two businesses that I live and breathe with great people, but it's very hard to keep these lights on.
You know, Mark, when I was up in New York about 2 months ago, a couple of us went shopping there in the district, and we looked at all the paraphernalia that they have for the souvenirs for the tourists. Everything is made in China or elsewhere. Nothing in America.
Funny. Mike, my nephew went to Cincinnati, Ohio. He came back on this box that says, "Let's Pappy make you happy." And it's they're different sauces, but the first sauce or the middle sauce says Pappy's hot. Pappy's not made in China, barbecue and dipping sauce, made in U.S. without lead paint. But he gave me this box, and that's the brand, not made in China. I'll send you a picture. He gave me it as a gift. I said, we're going to get that in our store.
Oh, Mark, anything that you have, email it to me. I'll try to post it on the site.
I love it. I said, geez, you got to love it.
And, you know, just like that, I mentioned a couple times in the past, just like that link you sent me, how much of your car was made in the USA. We got a lot of clicks on that, and people told me they were really happy to see that. And I give credit to Diane Sawyer and David Muir for, you know, bringing that to the people's attention on their ABC World News.
And, Mike, use my team because we got quite a team. I got a professional writer. We track and search everything. So if you want facts, I mean, you're welcome to call Sue anytime.
Excellent. You know, we've watched for this going on for so many years where these endless Washington crowd politicians just gorge themselves with salaries, benefits, all of our tax dollars. They watched unemployment go through the roof. And still, after all this time, after the election, after, you know, the union State of the Union speech, still nothing about jobs. Nothing. Absolutely. It's depressing to me. And the people who I meet in my travels that listen to us, they say, the people on this radio broadcast, I tune in every week because you make sense. You're talking normalcy. You're talking about how are we going to change what's, you know, at our doorstep right now, where all you do is see this nonsense on television, making these people look like they're rock stars, escorting them around, all this nonsense. Where is the future of America? That's what we have to be concerned with. And I want to thank Larkin and Rich and Joseph and Mark for all you're doing, because it's really been very impressive. I'm really pleased. Yesterday, I was very happy. I have to tell you this before I forget. I was really pleased that as a result of last week's broadcast, a man was listening and he said to me, I listened to the program, I saw your article in the Star newspaper, and I'm going to have it put in a Jersey newspaper. Later in the day, I spoke to the man from the Northeast Times. He's going to promote National Small Business Weekend in the paper next week. But he did something special in our conversation. He said, maybe you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go from community group to community group to each one of the business associations and see what we can do to promote this a little bit more, because the small businesses are not advertising in the papers because they don't have the money to pay their regular bills. So how are they going to advertise? So it's all happening. It's very small steps. If we had those national leaders on our side, we could really do an unbelievable job. Gentlemen, we have to take a break for a moment. Hold on. We'll be back. And I want to give you a little bit of an update on America.
For a snack or meal that's ready in minutes, trust the quality and variety of Giorgio. Giorgio's mouth-watering mozzarella or jalapeno cheese sticks and tempting home-style breaded mushrooms are the perfect meal or snack to fit into your family's busy schedule. Giorgio Foods, the standard of quality since 1928, can be found in the frozen sections of supermarkets across the country. Also, try their delicious variety of fresh mushrooms for a healthy way to add flavor to your favorite meal.
Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750. The law firm of Dominic Rostovsky is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostovsky Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominic Rostovsky on the internet at rostovsky.com. Dominic Rostovsky, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language. The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by Steam My Carpets, and they serve commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at Steam My Carpets at 1-877-778-3263 or visit them on the internet at steammycarpets.com. And also being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club, located at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800.
The office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. As always, if you're listening on the radio, go to your telephone and invite a family member and friend to tune in here to 860 AM, where they can listen to us from the Listen Live link located on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Today I'm here with Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel, and I just want to give you a very brief update on America, its population, and our situation. I'm going to ask all of you to comment. As of today, America's population is 315 million people. It went up over a million people since I gave this report. Now, in order to be a successful economy, America needs to employ at all times at least 60% of its population with full or part-time jobs. That's a very basic thing. Any country in the world, to be a success, you can never be top heavy in one way or the other. Now, this amount, of course, excludes the people that are young in school and are senior citizens. They're not in that 60% that could and should be employed. Well, as of today, we have 143 million people employed, which is just about where it was when we had a million less people working in the USA. However, 60%, if anybody goes to their calculator, 16%, 60% of 315 million people, that means we need at least 189 million people. We're short at this point 46 million jobs. And I'm going to ask you, how did that happen? What do you say, Larkin?
Well, I'm sure that the historians down the road are going to write an awful lot about how it happened. And as an individual involved with SCORE, and I'm sure Rich and Mark feel the same way, I think it's time to really think about solutions and what exactly it needs to take. It's going to take for us to fill those 49 million jobs, was it?
Mm-hmm. 46 million.
46 million jobs. Mm-hmm. I want to just add a new twist before Rich and Mark throw in. The city of Philadelphia is a beautiful, beautiful city. We have a lot of tourists. There's a big service economy here. It doesn't have a manufacturing economy. But as you look at all of the published lists, we're the 18th worst city in the country as far as crime is concerned. 18th. My point to that end is a lot of this crime is brought on by an unhealthy economy that can't employ people and can't keep them off the corner trying to figure out where they're going to get their next meal.
Absolutely.
So my throw out to your 46 million jobs that we need to find is we can tackle crime by taking assault weapons off the street. I agree with that, and I think that's a no-brainer. And Biden saying, go buy a shotgun, I agree with that 100%. But taking assault weapons off the street is not going to make crime go away.
Not at all, because it gets to the point where if they don't take you down with a gun, they'll take you down with a brick or a knife or something. All these are just diversions away from what we should be doing.
If you have what they want, they're going to get it.
Absolutely. No, if they can't get in the window, they'll get in the door. If they can't get in the door, they'll break a hole in the roof. Someone will get you if they are desperate, if they have a job that takes all that anguish away from them. And that's where no one. I'd like to see the president and the Congress appoint Joe Biden and all of these other people to go out into the states, talk to each of the governors, have a press conference on air, on TV. We have all these public stations like PCN. Let's have public broadcasting, show what they're going to do. Let's talk about change, not only about nonsense about who's dating this one and that one. You look at some of these television shows and you wonder how they're wasting our time and not focusing any time into really what's going to make them business in the future and what's going to put America back on the map today. Mark, what do you have to say to all that?
Well, I always say buy American, right? You know, when you say we need 36 million jobs, lately I've been just going through the small towns around me and how much business, may it be Fisher-Price, pulled all of their manufacturing. East Aurora, right next to me, 10 minutes away, is the headquarters for Fisher-Price. They do not make one toy in this country, and they could. And Rich, we always, you know, I do want patriotic, loyalty. I lead with my goal is not to make money. Of course, we've got to make enough money to keep the lights on. My goal is to create livelihoods, and I think more people have to think like that. Again, we have to change our culture. We have to change our school systems. We have to create more skilled workers. But we have to get work. We have to get product. We have to get American manufacturing growing again. It is what grows this country. From George Washington stated it, Abraham Lincoln, it's how this country was built. We have to get the manufacturers back here. You have to believe, and you have to believe today, to go look at products made here, request it, talk it up, demand products. Consumers have all the power. People are going to change this country. We know, and we're talking about it again today, these politicians, these lazy politicians that don't do nothing, are not going to do it.
You're absolutely right. And through this effort, like American Workers Radio and American Workers Need You, people have been going out of their way to look at labels, to make a stink at stores. I even understand that Walmart has changed a little more of its philosophy recently, where they were going to put out $5 billion a year. They're now upping that to take in more American products. But the problem they have is there's not enough American-made suppliers here in the USA.
Now, Mike, I went to a Tractor Supply over the weekend, and I'm like you. You know, they know me. But I leave them alone. I'm a nice guy. So I picked on a lady when I was cashing out. I had to get my boy some Fix-A-Flat. So I said, how much Made in America products do you have here? And the lady said, not enough. I said, good answer. I said, I own the Made in America store. She goes, why don't you put one of them across the street? I said, I do. I want to put one next to every Walmart. And you're right. Walmart is trying. I had an inside meeting. Walmart's hard for me to talk about. I love Sam and what he believed. And then they went with greed, like our politicians, and they're all about their self. But they're trying to come back, even if they're using it not from the heart like I am as much. But we can't have a $11 an hour job run this country. These people, you need a good wage. Walmart jobs, the number one employer of the country. That's sad, too. And they did wipe out a lot of small business in town. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm both ways with Walmart. That's a tough pill for me to swallow.
But at the same time, Mark, you know, my father used to teach me, when you have a problem, you got to take a look at every element that has an influence over it. And I think we've spent enough time talking about what the big boxers have done to trade in this country. And I think the answer is obvious. But if Walmart steps up after all of the bad publicity they've got and they start talking about, you know, we buy $8 billion, now we want to buy $35 billion, we really want to boost this, that to me is an answer. That to me makes part of the problem part of the solution now.
And you know who's driving that, Larkin?
No, I don't.
Consumer demand.
Yes,
well,
in fact, Larkin, I wanted to ask you, did you hear...
50% of all sales at Walmart are food, and they are made in America when they say food, which... That's good, and I do like that what they're trying to do, no, for whatever reason, but they have to let their manufacturers, and they have to work with American manufacturers, and not just all price, work with them to get back on their feet.
Now, Mark, have you heard that recently, since maybe in the last 10 days, Walmart did make a gesture that they were going to go from $5 billion a year to $35 billion a year in American-made products for sale?
I've got a crew that's pretty close with them, yeah, and we had a couple meetings, and they're also helping the veterans, because I do a ton for our veterans. There's no higher honor, and they want to, you know, any veterans that gets needs a job that first year honorably discharged, they'll help get a job, and I love that. Now, it might be any job. It might be a $9 an hour job, but they, you know, that's great. You have to help our veteran. And then, yeah, I did hear they're upping that. I mean, in their numbers, it's not a big amount, but it's a start, and I'm with you, Larkin, and it's definitely a start. It needs to happen.
Right. Out of $285 billion in sales a year, they were willing to do $5 billion a year directed to America. The fact that it's now up to $35 billion a year in the last 10 days, that's very good. That means that our people are going out. It is consumer-driven. People are speaking up, and hopefully they'll be walking with their feet to the stores that are offering American-made.
And I hope they're honest with it and there's no fraud, because I get flags that have 60 stars and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I always pick on our flag because 70% are made overseas. But I hope they're really true to it and they don't use fraud. They just don't use it to make money. I hope they truly are helping our American manufacturers.
Well, I have the press release here, and it is Walmart plans $50 billion Buy American.
God, that's
push.
What I like to hear.
In 10 years, I thought, though, on that, but I'm not positive.
I thought it was five. I will dig a little bit deeper.
Yep, just take a look.
Well, we have to move it. Walmart has to do better than that. But as one of the gentlemen from the Northeast Philadelphia Walmart told me, he said, we have a supply problem. It's to the point in America that there are not enough suppliers to give us the volume of products we need. So, I mean, not only did all the big box stores focus on buying abroad, they also destroyed our industries in America in the process. So now as we rebuild, we have to depend on not only our local stores, but the Walmarts and everyone else coming on and helping us to move
and
forward.
Mike, you're right with that statement, because I have, remember now, 5,000. We're just under 5,000 products under one roof in our distribution center, and that's why Amazon called us. They didn't want to find all these products and do that work, and they're using us, and that's fine. And they're using our brand equity, and that's what people, you know, with the crew, they want our Made in America, because we became a trusted company. We became, the Made in America store symbol is a good housekeeping seal. They know I'm real and true to it. But it is hard. These suppliers I deal with now, 350 privately owned suppliers, are having trouble with keeping up with me.
See, now, yeah. See, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
30 years ago, 95% of everything was made in the USA. How in 30 years did we go from 95% here to 5% here? It's a tragedy. Rich, what do you have to add to this?
Michael, I would encourage your listeners. Today there was a published report. I saw it on Yahoo, but I believe it was the New York Times had an article regarding health care. And one of the things it was it talked about in this article was over the last 20 years, healthcare has had the largest growth in terms of jobs created. And if we take healthcare out of the equation, there would be fewer jobs today than in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So as I've pointed out many times, manufacturing jobs, going overseas to a number of companies, number of countries, this is not something that has happened overnight. This has been occurring for a very long time. And whatever we were doing was clearly working in the past, because a majority of goods were made here, and basically the entire world owed us money. And now both of those have essentially flipped on their heads, right? We seem to owe the rest of the world a ton of money, and at the same time, we've seen small strides. I think we have seen some small strides in trying to get jobs and manufacturing back here. But we need to all be some historians here and look to see what was working back then that we could look to apply right now. And I don't think that this is really altogether that complicated. I think that oftentimes Congress talks about this issue as if we're trying to figure out who built Stonehenge. This is not, you know, a great enigma or a mystery. Undoubtedly, if the focus is there, we can begin getting these jobs and getting this production back here. I'm not going to name the manufacturer because, you know, they're not on this call to defend themselves, etc. But my wife and I went to purchase luggage recently, and we happened to see luggage made by a major American auto manufacturer. And, you know, I mean, sort of naively, I did look at the tag to see where it was built, thinking if it's an American auto manufacturer, it would be made here. Well, do you guys think it was made here? It wasn't.
No, I've seen that, Rich. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So you know, Mark, you probably know again, I'm not going to name the names. They're not here, and, you know, but if I mention it, everybody who's listening would know. So, you know, this is really indicative of the overall economic condition.
And
right,
Rich,
now,
did the tag have like an American theme on it, or not?
Yeah, because it had.
There's luggage with an American theme, and then you look a little deeper, and it's not even made here.
It's not made here, and why is it not made here? Because that company has more incentive to build it overseas than it has incentive to build here. You know, Larkin, you mentioned something, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, I believe it was the last time I appeared, and you talked about corporate responsibility. And while I do agree with that, the reality is that companies are in business to make money. I mean, Mark, you're a business person, I'm a business person. Larkin, you meet with business people and potential business people. I mean, damn it, we get into business to make money, okay, bottom line. But that doesn't mean that it should be made at any and all costs.
That's right.
So the fact of the matter is that we are all in business to make a to make a difference, to hopefully employ people, to provide products and or services. But when large companies have more enticements to go overseas, we need to figure out how to get them back here, because other countries around the world have been consistently beating us at our own so-called capitalist free market game.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you
and
know,
that's because we've been looking all over the world at all of these other things where these, you know, little countries around the world dictate our foreign policy and dictate our military expenditures. We have other countries that essentially, you know, keep us, hold us hostage for certain goods and products that we need, because we're so dependent and reliant upon many of these countries. We're reliant upon countries buying our currency, right, and our treasury bills, just to keep our government running. Forget about it growing. It's just to keep us moving along, chugging along. So when we have our blinders on, and again, keeping the global view, Mark, you've mentioned this, right, you know, about having a global mindset, and I agree with you about that. But we need to put the blinders on here. See, we can start to make significant economic differences without a lot of austerity. That's my opinion. And it is up to the Congress to make these choices, because they're the ones who ultimately make the laws.
I just want to say one thing. Josh Miller, the producer of this new movie made in the USA that he's bringing out, he said, you know, we talked about it. I said, what about parties, Democratic, Republican? And like we said, there's really only two parties. And he said, well, he said, I wrote to the president about pushing this movie. He's trying to get this movie distributed. And he said, I called my congressman, a Republican. He said, well, that's a Democratic thing. And he said, what's a Democratic thing? He said, Made in America. He goes, no, it's an American thing. Because I believe, I always say I'm for America. And then Democratic, he said, the problem is one party wants you to join in. He's trying to explain to him, no, this is an America thing. They're worried about their party, the Made in America. So I just thought that was interesting. And I always said, I'm for America. You know,
well, they have to worry, Mark, they have to worry about the parties, because it's the divisions, the so-called differences are the things that drive the, you know, the political campaigns and the political contributions. You know, $6 billion for a presidential election.
Right.
Rough estimate.
The Hollywood show.
Right. 15 to 20 billion combined with presidential and congressional elections. You mentioned minimum wage earlier. You know, I've been saying for a long time, you want to really attract people who want to do the job in government, pay a minimum wage. I mean, making a minimum wage job, that's really going to, you're going to really see who's going to want to do, who's going to really want to
get the good hearted Americans to run it, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm saying that somewhat facetiously, but the fact of the matter is, I'm not saying we never get it right. I'm just saying that our level of government, when it comes to these specific issues, it doesn't work at the level of efficiency that it has to. And there is more than ever, the government more than ever needs to have a sense of urgency.
When you talk about salary, New York State, they're picking on, of course, New York State, because we're at a tough, I always call it a boot camp for business, but the basketball coach at the University of Buffalo makes just under $300,000, and they just all got $10,000 raises. Here we're trying to break rocks to stay alive. I can't believe a professor's making $1.1 million in New York State. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it is. It's a disgrace. It's unbelievable.
Well, but, you know, in the United States, Mark, we don't have a problem as a people paying paying billions of dollars to those who play kids' games, right?
So I just can't believe it.
Yeah, well. and it is, again, it's something else that's indicative. So while I don't feel like, you know, the ship is sunk, we are in a position right now, we're treading very deep water, and we are in a tenuous position.
But every wave brings in a little water over that edge.
Well, unfortunately, that's been occurring for quite some time, Mark.
Yeah.
I agree.
Gentlemen, we have a minute of informational commercials coming up. Hold on, and I'm going to ask all of you another very important question when we get back. I'm Michael Blihash, your host, and I'm here with Rich Loges, Larkin Conley, and Mark Andel. Hold on, we'll be right back. The office of Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue
in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807. Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. That's 215-535-6606. Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish.
The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll-free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the National Office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. And as I mentioned earlier, America has a population of 315 million people. In order for us to be a success, we need 60% of that 315 million people employed. That would be 189 people on the job. We are short at this time, unfortunately, 46 million jobs. So today, I'm going to ask Larkin, Rich, and Mark to give me some idea as to what they would propose if we went to national leaders and we said, you have to work with private sector businesses to bring back at least 50% of the jobs we need. That's 23 million jobs, and we'll give it a timetable of 3 years. What do you think their response would be? Let's start off with Larkin.
That's a tough one. I think it all starts with what we've spent so much time talking about, and that's the government really doesn't know how to get us out of this situation. I mean, they just flat don't know. They have absolutely no idea. I don't think they're so self-serving that they can't do it. But I would call for a constitutional convention, and I would just shake government up from city government all the way to the federal government and the way they operate. Everything needs to be shaken up. We need to take a look at it. How can a congressman vote on Social Security when he doesn't participate in Social Security? And when you think Congress has done absolutely everything to insult the voting public, they gave themselves a raise this year of 7 to 8%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous. But the dead out answer to your question is that the government needs to pare down the Department of Defense. We need to be the strongest, the most powerful, the fastest sheriff in town. I don't think there's any question of that. But we need to find a lot of this waste, the incredible amount of money, and it seems Rich always knows that number, that's spent on electing a president in this country. That needs to be poured into the SBA or some organization like that who can get the money back out to small businesses. And to some sense of influence that will allow bankers to start lending money to small businesses. We're right back to where we were 10, 12 years ago, which is they lend money to the people who don't need it. If you need money, you can't get it.
Right. So, and I think I agree with that, and I would like to add one thing. Until they created the 23 million jobs, I think they should be reduced down to the minimum wage of $9 an hour that President Obama recently considered presenting to the Congress. Mark, what would you do to get those 23 million jobs back if you were in office and you had a 3-year timetable? Larkin said we need a constitutional convention. What would you do?
I'm liking Larkin more and more every time. I mean, that's perfect statement in the beginning, because they're so off track. We always talk about lead by example and cutting your own cost. I always come last at my company, and they're just an embarrassment, you know, to give raises at a time like this, or like you said, Rich always says, with the, you know, how much they spent on the election in a time of need when people are working 2-3 jobs to put food, shelter, and clothing, you know, for their families. That's the problem. But the understanding we're talking about, they don't understand. They might understand. They don't care. I don't know. But their lives, they just lost connection with the real week to week, you know, paycheck to paycheck living. And that's what I think people are just shaking their heads at this point. They're hoping, they keep hoping for some positive. That's what people love with my story. I give them hope. I inspire them. There's still a chance. I watched a little girl for the Buffalo Sabres game the other day, 8 years old, sing the national anthem, and it inspired me. This little girl, that's the future we've got to deal with. I would tell them they've got to get manufacturing, they've got to get business, they've got to make incentives for business to stay here. And Rich, you talk about this too. We've got, it's a whole circle. You know, people have to make more money to be able to buy more made in America products. It's a full circle. It's a cultural change. Schools have to get involved. We have to, right away, I would make low interest, you know, if it's low interest loans, or try to help these people. You can't keep handcuffing them and adding fees and taxes and all these three-letter words. What's happening in New York right now, because people, you just can't do it. And so they're leaving, they're closing these businesses. We have to train these young people to dream again and be risk takers. But entrepreneurship, Larkin, as you know, is going down too. We've got to get them. We've got to give them the opportunity and have vision that leads further than yourself. And that's what this governor, the government is right now. They're more selfish and just just about their next election right away, and you can't lead that way. You know, they lead with greed. I always say we lead with our heart.
Rich, what would you add to that?
A lot of stuff, guys, you just said. A lot of topics. You know, Larkin, about – and I've said this for really a long time, and in particular this last election – you know, my wisecrack's been that $6 billion could have created, like, you know, two or three jobs, right? Probably.
But
a few jobs, right? But for as long as our laws allow for unlimited, because the law is unlimited, spending and political contributions. I mean, look, it's common sense, guys. You know, if there's a block of people that spent $3 billion to get a guy elected, then damn it, there's something in it for them, right? I mean, let's just be honest about it. I mean, it's not, again, this is not a big mystery. Michael, we've talked about it. The world's going to need to create approximately 500 million jobs over the next couple decades just to accommodate population. Just to accommodate population. So we have a lot of companies right now that are elsewhere in the world, some U.S.-based, some not. This is going to require Congress to really dig deep and do some negotiating that it perhaps has never done in its history, because it needs to find a way. And there's not going to be, guys, a perfect solution. You know, corporations getting away with murder, not paying tax is a you know, our country's, our people are cognizant of that. But that might be, and I'm going to underscore might, because I'm not entirely convinced this, but it might be an incentive. We might have to live with getting some companies here and essentially giving them the opportunity to operate with little to no taxation in exchange for them bringing their jobs and manufacturing back here. We've got companies with billions overseas. At the moment they step foot back here, they're going to pay 35%. Well, what is a company in business to do, guys? It's in business to make money. And it has had incentives to make money elsewhere around the world. So I would like to see the Speaker of the House, the President, the Vice President, talk to these companies and say, hey guys, what do we need to do to get you here? All I'm asking the Congress to do, all I'm asking our officials to do, is to give a genuine, sincere effort. I just want to see them try. I can live with seeing them try and having not a great deal of success.
Well, Rich, I have to say, once you said to me a very interesting line, you said, we have to start depending upon ourselves. You also said that we can no longer depend and wait for the Wizard of Oz, Bugs Bunny, Santa Claus, and the Easter Bunny.
The Easter Bunny.
And the Easter Bunny to advise us on ways to create.
From the, you know, your listeners will appreciate that. Remember the day the Earth stood still and the guy comes out, the big robot, and he said, he puts his hand up, right? We're all waiting for that. Our culture, our mindset of self-sufficiency has gradually eroded away, as evidenced by, you know, huge companies whose executives make billions getting taxpayer-funded bailouts, right? Automotive, you know, your house gets foreclosed on, you get a bailout. I mean, all of these things, it's indicative of how we've taken the approach, the new approach, I'd say, to problem solving. And maybe we need to innovate by actually looking how we used to do it. You know, the old guys is what the new is going to be. But I know that we've got to start doing something.
Rich, thank you so much. Larkin, thank you. And Mark, thank you so much. It's hard to believe another hour has gone. I can't wait to hear from people about their comments about today's broadcast. But remember, we can't depend on the Wizard of Oz, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or Bugs Bunny to help us create jobs. We have to get people off their butts and help to work to get these jobs back in the USA. When we have jobs, crime and social programs will go down. Until I see you on Saturday for our variety program, or next Wednesday here at 11 a.m., I wish you the very best. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Have a great day. You've inspired me.
Okay. Take care. David Zenya.